Now you all know I'm not the gravelly voice preacher, so if you came expecting hype, hit the wrong church. But I'm going to give you the word as God gave it to me. Amen. Title of my message is Touched, Part 2. I preached on this about 6-7 months ago, but the Lord gave me some more I want to share with you today. You know, all of our 5 senses that God has given us are there so that we can communicate. It's how we get information. It's how we receive information. It's how we give information. And for there to be communication, it's got to go both ways, right? You've got to communicate to me. I have got to communicate to you. Some information we give out and some information we take in. And all of our senses are involved in receiving information. Our taste, our touch, our smell, our hearing are all involved with taking in information. But not all of our senses are involved with communication. Not all of our senses are involved with giving out information. But all of them are involved in receiving sensation and information. And in fact, the biggest sense that we use in communicating out is through speech. That's how we communicate most things. We speak. But the sense that's involved in communicating speech is, in fact, our hearing. Because those who are hearing impaired, you find, although there's nothing wrong with their ability to speak, they cannot communicate if they are hearing impaired. So although it is an input, we need our hearing to be able to communicate out. But not all of our senses are involved in communication. And just be patient with me, I'm going somewhere with this. Amen. You know, we don't really communicate out with our taste. That's something that we take in. Similarly, with smell, we don't communicate out. We smell something in. It's one of the 2 senses that are only for input. But for output, we find that there is speech is our main primary form of communicating to someone else. But we can't do it unless we can also hear. That's why, as I said, people who are deaf can't speak properly. They can learn to make sound, but their tone and their pronunciation is deficient. Why? Because they can't hear what they're saying. And that's why those who have lost that ability have a hard time making sense of what they're hearing, because they can't really imagine it except through the vibrations. They can't really pick up what's going on. And we see that this makes communication in the sense of talking difficult. Difficult. The second sense that we use to communicate is, of course, touch. We can touch things, can't we? We find in John 8, verse 6, Jesus communicated by touching the ground. It was the scene where they had brought this woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery, and they were all railing against her. And it says in John 8, 6, that they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. He was communicating by another means. Usually, as I said, the primary means we communicate is through speech or word. But to do that, we have to hear. Jesus ignored them. It says as though he heard them not. He didn't speak. He started to write. It was a sense of touch that was communicated out. So some of our senses can receive information and cannot communicate information out. As I said, you can't communicate out with your smell or with taste. It's something that is only for input. But here's something that we do communicate. When we're angry or when we're in a foul mood, how do we communicate that out? Well, usually it's with words. Anger and hate are communicated with words. We start railing on people or calling them names. And then that may progress to the next one that communicates, which is touch. It may get physical, right? Anger starts out with words. But then it communicates, if it gets real extreme, then people start to use their physical attributes, their touch and their hands. So attraction, let's look at the opposite of that, of love. How do we communicate the emotion of love? Well, it's again, the reverse of anger. Anger is first communicated by words, but love is actually communicated first by action. We may see someone, then we do something to make sure they notice us. We show up somewhere where we know they're going to be. We do something, we get dressed, we make ourselves look good. We take an action when we want to communicate attraction, but we speak words when we want to communicate hate. I want you to think about what I'm saying here. Attraction is first communicated by actions. It's really touch because it's a physical output. And then later comes words. After we meet the person, then we start to say things to them. But first, there are actions. You see someone, and then you make sure that they can see you. Right? Isn't that how it goes? Amen. We don't first go up to someone and say, I love you. We don't use words right away when it's love. It's an action. And that's exactly what God did. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave. Love is communicated primarily. What I'm trying to get to my point is by the sense of touch. Touch. I'm not going to be long today. Love is communicated by touch. Hate and anger are first communicated by words. But love is communicated by touch or actions, and then later it comes words. John 8:6, let's read that again. Now you're going to see something, what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus did not speak. What did he do? He communicated through touch. He touched the ground, and the Bible says he went as though he heard them not. Because remember, to speak, you have to hear. He decided to communicate this time through actions. He started to write on the ground. With his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued, they wouldn't stop. Then he lifted himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down to the ground, touched the ground, started to write again. See, there are two primary forms of communication. You can either speak with words, but you need to listen to be able to communicate. Or you can use a physical. And that's what Jesus did. So the final consummation of love is intimacy. It's all about touch. Isn't that right? When you want to comfort someone, what do you do? When you see someone in hurt, what's the first thing that we want to do? We want to give that, put an arm around that person. You see, love is communicated, and empathy, understanding, pain is communicated through touch. We can say, oh, I'm so sorry. But that just seems so empty, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem empty when you really want to comfort someone? We go and we put our hands around them. You see, because touch is intimate. Touch is not something we do. When we don't know someone, you don't just go bump up on somebody, do you? No, that you're going to get in trouble if you do that. When we first introduce each other, the first things we do is a quick handshake. We touch. It's a sign of introduction, of friendship. But to get to the next stage of intimacy, love is all about touch. It's all about giving someone a hug, holding someone, an embrace. That's how we communicate empathy. That's how we communicate that we understand what someone is going through. It is actually through touch. That's why it says God so loved the world that he gave. He came down so that you could be touched, that he could be touched, that he could understand what you're going through. Because the only way to communicate empathy is through touch. Words are very powerful, but they still leave you somewhat empty. You know, you can say over the phone, oh, I'm so sorry, I wish, I want to, but it's somehow you want to be there. You want to be able to hold somebody. You want to be able to comfort them. Because touch is the most intimate form of communication. And Jesus was demonstrating something with this woman. He was really demonstrating love. He didn't speak to them. In fact, he blocked out the hearing. So the only communication was what he was writing on the ground. The Bible doesn't tell us what he wrote. You know, I've made up some story that you've all heard before. I believe he was writing out all of their stuff. He was putting out all their business in plain sight. The Bible says from the oldest to the youngest started to take a look, decided that was enough communication for him, and took off. He was writing out all their business. On Saturday, John Philip was at the house of Susie. As soon as he saw that, he took off. By the end of his communication, Jesus looked up. There was no one. You know what he was showing that woman? By the action was love. Was love. We have to let God touch us. If we cannot be touched, we will never touch him. The Bible says it's a broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. Some people come to church and they have put up a wall. They have been through so much pain and heartache, they're not open to letting God touch them. They've got this wall. They've been through so much, they have hardened themselves. I'm not going to be touched. That was my problem, actually. It took me 9 years to get the Holy Ghost because I decided, God, you're gonna have to levitate me and spin me around. I'm not doing a thing. Come on, let's have it happen. I wouldn't let God touch me. I wouldn't let the Spirit open my heart. See, the final consummation of love is touch. Words are great, they can help, but to really be able to show empathy is touch. And we all know that. You see, you can't communicate true feelings without touch. That's why the Bible said he came. In Hebrews, he says that he can be touched. If you look in the New Testament, 99% of every miracle did not occur until there was a touch. Matthew 9, verse 20. Now, this is the famous one. You all know this one. But I'm going to point out something you may not have noticed. Matthew 9, verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood, 12 years. See, for 12 years, she had let the wrong people touch her. The doctors had touched her. Maybe her friends had given her some kind of potion. And all kinds of things had touched her. But nothing had really touched her permanently, changed her. But she'd heard about this man, Jesus, who was doing miracles, who when he touched people, virtue flowed. But she was in this crowd and everybody was trying to touch him. But she had such faith, she made up in her mind and she understood a principle of love. That when you touch, you communicate. It's the one of the two senses that can communicate out and in. You can both send a message and receive a message through touch. So she came behind him and just touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. I want to tell you tonight, this afternoon, unless you have that same mind, unless you have come here determined to touch Jesus, you will not be made whole. You will go home the same way you came. You're going to have to allow Jesus to touch you and for you to truly touch him. Many of us come with our hearts so hard, we just come to have a performance at church. We come to hear the music. We come to see someone. But we don't come to be touched or to touch. But I want to point out something to you you may not have thought. You may have thought, oh, well, it was just in this case that touch was important. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And I want to point out something to you that you may not have noticed. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy upon us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. What did he do then? Then he touched. He could have spoken the words. But he wanted to be intimate. He wanted to show them. He knew exactly what their problem was. He wanted to show love. So he reached out and touched. I'm telling you, Jesus wants to touch some of us today. But we haven't come to be touched. We've come to be entertained. We've come to see a show. We've come for all kinds of reasons. But on this Pentecost Sunday, what I'm trying to tell you need to allow Jesus to touch you. You have to come with a hope, open heart and say, Lord, I need a touch. I'm here to touch you. Then touched he their eyes and saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. This is not new. It's even in the Old Testament that touch was from God to strengthen us. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 18, Daniel was weak, he was praying, he was fasting, and God sent an angel. But the angel didn't just come and speak words to him. The angel touched him. In Daniel 10, 18, then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man. And what happened? He strengthened me. When God touches you, you will receive strength. You will receive deliverance. You will receive healing. You want a change of your words? The things you say are hateful. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 7. The prophet Isaiah saw a vision of heaven, but he realized, I can't be no prophet. I cuss and swear. I do all kinds of stuff. My mouth is filthy. Isaiah 6 and 7, and then an angel was sent. And he took a coal from off the fire. You know what he did? He touched him. He said, laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. And because the coal from the fire touched his lips, look what happened. The iniquity was taken away. When God touches us, he cleanses us, he purifies us, he makes us new. He will take away your sin, but you have to let him touch you. Jeremiah chapter 1, 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Sometimes we've let stuff make us bitter and hateful. The Bible speaks about a root of bitterness. We need God to touch our mouth, touch our heart, so that what comes out isn't bitterness anymore, but love. I said this was not unusual. Nearly every miracle in the New Testament, every deliverance, every healing involved touch. There were a couple that didn't, but they were the exception. Matthew 14, 35. I want to show you, it wasn't just the woman with the issue of blood. And when the men of the place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country around about and brought unto him all that were diseased. And they besought him, they begged him, they pleaded with him that he might, what? Touch them. Is that our desire today? Did you come here begging God, Lord, I need a touch? Because if you didn't, you're at the wrong place. It wasn't just the woman that desired to touch him. It said, as many as they brought, they desired to touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. It wasn't just one woman touched the hem of his garment. It was many who touched the hem of his garment. I'm telling you today, if you will touch by faith the hem of his garment, if you say, I need a change in my life, I need strength, I need deliverance. We need our stony hearts changed. Some people can sit through an anointing and not be moved. My old pastor used to say, like a bump on a log. Bump on a log is not much use, is it? No. We need to be touched. Sometimes God has to touch us through circumstance. It's a fight that God touches us. We see that in Genesis with Jacob. And Jacob was left alone. Genesis 32, 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And he said, let me go, for the day break. And he said, I will not let thee go unless he was going to hold on to that angel. He wasn't going to let him go. Sometimes you have to have the made up mind, the determination to not let go until you find that touch, till you get your blessing, till you be delivered. It's not just the woman with the issue of blood. We all need to be touched, because that's how God is able to show us how much he loves us. He could have said lots of stuff when they brought that woman, but it's really interesting how that played out. The Bible said he turned off his hearing. He ignored what the accusation was. The devil is making accusation against all of us right now. Right now, God is ignoring that. But he reached out and he touched the ground. He started to write something that made all those men run. God will write something that will make the devil run. He'll write a blessing into your life if you will let him touch. If you will let him come and love you. If you will let him give you a hug. I need a hug from God every day. Amen. I need that. You understand that we were created to be touched? A baby that is raised without touch and comfort, it becomes a sociopath. You see, words communicate to the mind, but touch communicates to the flesh. We need both. We need words of encouragement, words of love, but we also need that touch. We also need that touch. As human beings, we need both. We need that comfort. Sometimes that's what we crave. That's why babies love to be held. You ever notice when you put them down? They're smart, you know. Even those little rockers won't fool them long. They know it's not a human touch. They can't feel the warmth. They can't feel that movement. They want to be held. All my children, they had to be held to go to sleep. I want God to hold me to go to sleep. I need to rest upon His arms. See, when we're in grief, we need to be touched. There's a comfort in someone just holding us, even if they're not saying anything. And I'm telling you that the Bible speaks that God understands what we're going through. The Bible says we have not a high priest who cannot be touched. In the Old Testament, you couldn't touch the high priest. You weren't allowed to come near him because you were unclean, you were unfit. But this is not the kind of high priest that we have. We have a God who became man so that he could be touched. He said, stop, allow the children to come in. But they're dirty, they're crying, they got snotty nose. He said, he got angry with them, if you read it carefully. The Bible said he was angry with them because they stopped the children. He wanted them to come. He said, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he took them up in their arms and he blessed them. God wants to take you up in his arms and bless you, but some of us won't. He looked at Jerusalem and he wept. He said, you don't even know the time of your visitation because here I am and you're rejecting me. He came to give the Jews, so to speak, a hug so that they could touch him. But they rejected him and put him on a cross. Because the ultimate communication of love is touch in the physical. You all know that's how babies are born, right? Amen? There has to be touch. Words are great. But if you want something to be born, there's going to have to be some touch. Do you understand? God wants to touch us to have a birth of spirit, a birth of purpose, a birth of direction, a birth of deliverance. He has to get intimate with us. The Bible says he's going to tell some people, depart from me. I never knew you. And when it speaks about that, it's talking about touch. It's talking about intimacy. It's talking, you know, there was one disciple who was always leaning on Jesus' shoulder. The Bible says the disciple to whom Jesus loved. It wasn't that he just loved him, but he was the only one who believed it. See, God is calling us to touch and be touched. If you came here today with a stony heart, I'm asking you to open your heart. The Bible says a broken and a contrite heart, a repentant heart, God will not despise. He won't ignore it. He won't turn it away. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there were certain people that couldn't be touched. If you had leprosy, you had to go around with a bell and stay in a special village where all the lepers stayed and ring the bell. One of us, or most of us, don't understand that that village outside Jerusalem was called Bethany. It was the place where Jesus did some of his greatest miracles. Why? He went to the place where nobody wanted to touch anybody. He went, in fact, to a Pharisee whose name was Simon the leper. And he had dinner with him. Why? Because he came to touch and to reach people. If you could stand with me. In those days, there was no cure for leprosy. It was like when AIDS first came out. There was no cure for that. And yet he deliberately went to this town called Bethany. And that's where he made friends. That's where he had some of his greatest miracles. Why? Because he came to touch and to be touched. Matthew 8, 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 20. Speaking about the Jews, it says, for they could not endure that which was commanded. They were told that they couldn't touch the mountain. In the Old Testament, you couldn't come before God. You couldn't get that close to God. And they were told, you can't cross this line. You can't get so close to the mountain. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But that was the Old Testament. Verse 22 says, but you are come unto Mount Zion. And unto the city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant. A new covenant. Hallelujah. I'm going to end with the verse I started with, because we need to be touched. If we can't be touched, it means we have a spiritual leprosy. Leprosy killed the nerves so that you couldn't feel. And that's how people would damage themselves, because pain is a warning so that you can know that your hand is being burnt. But when you get leprosy, it damages the sensation of feeling, of touch. Now, you may wonder why I preach that. I have a problem with this hand. I had 3 surgeries last year, and it wasn't Dr. Jesus that operated. So they didn't do the most perfect job. And I have lost some of the sensation of touch on the tip of my fingers. And so I don't play as well as I used to be able to touch. But I'm not going to believe that. I'm still believing God is going to touch me and deliver me. I want to end with this verse, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points. Let's say all points. That means whatever you've gone through, he understood it. He understood it. And that's why he wants to touch you. No doubt he experienced the loss of a parent, because we know that after the age of 12, the story about Joseph disappears. We don't know when Joseph died or passed away, but by the time of his ministry, he was certainly long gone. He understood being raised in a single family. He understood people spitting on him and calling him names and saying, "You don't know who your dad is." The Bible says he was in all points tempted, such as we. We don't come to a high priest who cannot be touched. He's not some rich dude in a castle. But the Bible said he was made like unto his brethren, so that he could be a high priest upon our behalf, which can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That means our weaknesses, our faults, our failures. He understood that. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. So I'm closing this service, and yes, we are touched by the passing of Sister Janice. But I don't want us to focus on her passing, but on her reception in heaven. She's got a new place to dance. She used to dance right here every Sunday, but she's got a new place to dance. It's up to us now to make our calling and election sure. We need to allow the Master to touch us. That's the only way there will be deliverance, there will be healing, the cleansing. As you saw, nearly every single miracle in the New Testament, Jesus used touch to accomplish. He didn't have to, but because the Bible says he wanted to show, communicate empathy and love, he reached out, he touched the leper, he touched the blinded eyes, he let the woman touch him. The Bible said virtue flowed out of him. I'm closing this service. The altars are open, but we need to be touched and allow the Master to touch us. Hallelujah. If we can't be touched, we need Jesus to heal our spiritual leprosy. And he can do that. We just read that he did. They said they needed to be healed. And he said, "Do you believe I can do this?" And he touched them. Even as we mourn, we rejoice, because Sister Janice has now touched heaven. We have to make our own calling an election sure. If you could bow your hearts with me as we close this service, and I'm going to pray for those at the altar. Father, we just thank you that you have reached out and you have touched us. I know your presence is here today, Lord, and you're just waiting for us to open our heart. Lord, help us, I pray, to open our heart and say, come on in, Jesus. I need to touch the hem of your garment. Lord, I need you to write something in the earth for me. I need you to get rid of some devils that wanting to attack me. He can do it right now. We just have to open our heart, raise our heart to God and say, Lord, come and touch me. Move me. Hallelujah. We thank you today for all you're doing in our lives, Lord. Hallelujah. Even if it's a wrestle, even if it's a fight, as Jacob wrestled with the angel, we're going to hold on until you touch us and give us a blessing. In the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for your blessing and for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I pray, Lord, some heart today will be touched, will be moved, will be opened, will be broken before you. Hallelujah. That you can come in and give us, Lord God, that touch of love. We thank you right now, and we lift up your name.